Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
Hey.
It is Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
What's up? Friday. Glad you made it.
We are recording again from our new day because I've got some sound dampening panels up on my wall in the office here. So
I did not even notice that until you mentioned it.
I'm hoping that it deadens the sound a little bit.
I can still hear the echo, but you guys likely can't, because once we run it through our processing software, you really don't hear a lot of difference.
Right, but there's big walls. Also, the ceiling here is not a fake ceiling. So I think in our old place, the drop ceiling, those foam ceiling tiles helped to absorb some of the sound.
Uh-oh, did not even pay attention.
But this is just a regular old ceiling.
Okay.
So we're in a box, all that to say.
It's a nice box and a much bigger box.
It's a great box, man.
Yes.
Yeah, so good. So good. Yeah. So hey, we had a question written in, actually not about the podcast, but about the
sermon, yeah,
from John 17. And this person asked, she said, hey, why does Jesus switch from the third person, which he begins his prayer in, to the first person? That's a good question. And I don't know that there's a ton of significance there in the actual transition. What I'll say is this. I think in the opening of his prayer, he's emphasizing his relationship and his unique relationship to God as his father and his role as the son. Jesus as the Son of God has a lot of obvious messianic implications to it. There's a lot of weightiness to that. The access to the Father, this is the high priestly prayer. He's stressing his intimacy between him and God. So I think that would have a lot to do with it. And then as the prayer goes along, he shifts into the first person as he continues to pray about specifics for the disciples. So that's my take on it. I don't know that there's significant church doctrine to be founded upon such a transition, but it is a good point, and I appreciate your attention to detail on that. That would be my take. PR, your thoughts?
I think that there's... Okay, and this is just a speculation. I'll just offer that because I haven't studied John the way that you have, but I wonder if what's happening here is that Jesus is starting from the, I don't know, the outer perimeter of prayer, so to speak. As he draws near to the Father, he starts with that third person approach where he's speaking reverentially. I don't know. I've done this on occasion where I'm talking to the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, please help your servant do your will. I'm talking about myself, but I'm doing so in third person. I guess not too different from what Jesus is doing here, perhaps by his example. And as I progress in the prayer, it's almost like I'm moving closer and closer to him. And suddenly I'm now using first person pronouns and I'm talking to him almost as you're making, like you're making your way through the tabernacle. You start from the holy place and then you move into the holy of holies and now you're face to face with God. So that would be, I know that's, maybe that's a stretch, but that's my thinking here. He's starting with the reverential, not that he's acting in any way. It's not just piety for piety's sake, but he's starting with reverence and he moves closer and closer to the Father as he begins to change his subject matter. And now he's talking about his disciples and he cares about them, and it's like his heart begins to open more and more. Now, granted, these are words that are hard to describe for the second person of the Trinity because he's God. He knows the Father knows him. So it's hard to say that there's greater self-disclosure in Christ because he's fully known to the Father and vice versa. But from the human standpoint, I wonder if maybe there's something like that happening. But again, I'm speculating, just reading the sense of the prayer, trying to wrap my mind around it. That would be my two cents, but take that for what you will.
Yeah, again, remember, this is a prayer that is both for the Son and the Father, but it's also didactic. It's Jesus is teaching through this. And so I'm sure there are layers there in which he is teaching the disciples or emphasizing something with the disciples, even as he uses these terms and titles. But good job. Good attention to detail. Paying attention there. I appreciate the question coming in too. Let's jump into today's podcast. We are in Numbers 28, 29, and 30. And this is a section of Numbers that, again, can get somewhat tedious for us. And it's not just this. It's a couple chapters coming up in front of us, too. It can get repetitive. It can get redundant. Hello. Just got stopped right there by the Holy Spirit.
I will edit that out for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Anyways, yeah, it can get repetitive. And yet it's important for us to continue to lean in here. And in chapters 28 and 29, these are basically reminders on the offerings and the celebrations as Israel was prepared to enter the promised land. So you've got a brand new generation there, and Moses is going back over these things, making sure that they understand what's coming and what's expected of them. 28, 9 through 10 introduces some new offerings to be given each Sabbath. And the section as a whole focuses on the number of sacrifices required, lays out the kind and number required, the minimum from the priests and the people every year, not including any offerings initiated there by the people themselves. Yeah, it's massive numbers. And Gordon, when he comments and he says, the sheer numbers of these sacrifices in these chapters reminds us and the people of God's promises to bless them in a fruitful land. And so the numbers required is a reminder that, hey, God is going to provide it, the animals necessary for that. That's part of the blessings that they're going to inherit as they step into the promised land. So there's something anticipatory, even as we read through all of these different things. Pierre, your thoughts on some of these offerings and sacrificial instructions here?
Yeah, nothing entirely brand new. We've talked about this before, but I think there's something really important for us to see as New Testament believers by the fact that these are daily offerings. Some of them are sabbatical offerings, they're monthly offerings, but the regular routine nature of these things, I think, point to us the significance that we are to be regularly sacrificing something to the Lord. It's the idea that we never want to come to the Lord empty-handed, and not that you could ever truly do that, because everything that we have is from Him, through Him, and to Him, Romans chapter 11, but I think there's something about this that is helpful for us in that day by day, perhaps even hour by hour, there should be something that we're saying, Lord, I want to give to you at least the sacrifice of my praise. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about us, our lives being a sacrifice to Him that is pleasing and acceptable. And I think this is a really good example of how God designed them to see that. We no longer offer bulls and goats, but we do offer ourselves. And there's something really special about this. We should offer ourselves in a variety of ways. Maybe you haven't thought of worshiping the Lord in the middle of the day, putting on some of your favorite worship songs and just singing to the Lord and letting that be a time of communion with God. Maybe going to your room in the middle of the day, if you have opportunity to do that, and singing songs as you pray to the Lord and seek His face. Or even after you've read your Bible, maybe there's a way for you to give yourself to Him in a different way that's fresh and that's sacrificial. That's a good thing. I think the regularness of this teaches us something.
Yeah, 100%. We were talking actually with our community group this week about that idea of what we're doing when we're spending time with the Lord in our daily Bible reading. And to piggyback on what you're saying here, I think we can sterilize it so much, and we can sterilize our time, just like the Israelites could have been guilty of just going through the motions with some of these sacrifices and not remembering that this is an extension of an expression of our relationship with the Lord. You were talking about it's hard to describe with the second member of the Trinity how He can progress or deepen or draw closer in His prayer with the Lord there. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to define, but I think it's important for us to remember that our relationship with Christ is just that. It's a relationship. It's dynamic. It's active. There is something there to the old phraseology of your quiet time, right? Or spending time with the Lord. And we call it DBR. And I think it's helpful. It's certainly plain and clear in our terminology for it. But it can also run the risk of being something that sterilizes the process of daily Bible reading. It's, did you brush your teeth? Your daily brushing of your teeth. It can fall into that trap instead of realizing it as, no, I'm spending time with Jesus when I'm reading His word. I'm spending time with God. And that's that presenting myself to Him. That's that relational. That's that what's going to drive us to go and worship Him during the day, or to put on worship music when you're driving around in your car during the day. It's a relationship. It's not just the sterile kind of going through the motions that we can fall prey to if it's merely an intellectual pursuit.
Which I think speaks to the nature of a relationship. It's built on honesty. And the honesty that we have to bring before Him is that we're not worthy. We need change. We need to be remade and renewed into His image, which again goes back to Romans chapter 12. We are being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to another. This is actually not Romans 12, but you get the idea. I'm trying to help us understand here that sacrifice is still appropriate for the Christian today. It just looks different. We're not bringing bulls and goats, but we still sacrifice. And that's an important feature of the New Testament Christian life.
Yeah. In Romans 12, we are transforming ourselves by the renewal
of our minds. I was conflating that one with Paul, 2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah, in chapter 30, we get into this chapter on vows. And again, here, we've got another situation like we've talked about recently where you have something that might make some people uncomfortable. For men are just supposed to do what they say they're going to do. But for ladies, they're given a couple of exceptions, a couple of outs here. And if the husband said, hey, no, I don't want you to vow this vow, I don't want you to do this, then the woman could get out of having vowed that vow. Same with daughters in some situations there. And there's an escape clause that is provided for the ladies, whereas the men, there really is no escape clause for the men. What they say is what is supposed to happen.
They are bound.
Yeah.
And what you might think here, fathers, be good to your daughters, because daughters will love like you do.
That's a song. I'm singing it in my head.
Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. Yep. Don't listen to the song. I don't even know what he's saying. I love the song. I couldn't help but think of it. Okay, you've gotten us off track. Please continue.
I've gotten us off track. Yeah, no.
Thank you for admitting it.
I think this is an example of male headship, of male leadership. This is God's design for the husband or the father to cover the wife or the daughter in these circumstances and to help them make wise decisions. And so rather than seeing this as something demeaning to women, I think this is something that's a challenge to men to make sure that we're leading our families well.
Yes.
And that's wise and that's good and that's right and that's our job and we need to be doing that. And that's what God wanted from these men in Israel as well.
Yeah, so what you see here in the New Testament then, as husbands are called to lead their wives, Ephesians chapter 5, you see this all the way back into the earliest part of the Pentateuch, the book of Numbers. You saw this before, actually, back in the beginning of creation, Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. Adam failed in his call to lead her and to love her and consequently catapulted all of the human race into sin. Thank you, guys. But here it's reiterated and it's just highlighted. The patriarchy, as it's often called today, is looked down upon and sneered at as being something inherently evil, but that's not the case. God designed the patriarchy in its fullest and best representation to be a protective life-giving covering for the people that were underneath it, which of course included the young men. It doesn't say anything here about young men, but I would suspect they would also be under a similar covering under their father's leadership, unless and until they came to a certain age where they were considered men. And that's a different conversation, but they're not mentioned. I think that would still apply to them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And notice too, that men were to make these decisions with conviction. There was a time limit on these things. It wasn't like the man was free to go, let me think about whether or not this is going to be wise, and let me give me a couple weeks and then I'll make my decision. They needed to make the decision in the shadow of the vow being made. They needed to be ready to lead and ready to guide on this. And so there was a...
Now, on the day, verse 12 says.
Yeah, decisiveness. So men, next time you're getting in the car to go out on a date and your wife says, hey, where should we go eat?
Pastor PJ's house. Decided.
There we go. Yeah. No, I'm guilty of that. My wife's probably listening to this right now going, wait a minute.
Yep. Yeah. Preach to yourself.
Yeah, that's the danger of recording a podcast that our wives listen to.
Dude, that's a danger of preaching God's word, period.
Yeah.
You teach them the word of God. You're going to be pointing fingers at yourself a lot of the time.
Yep. Yeah, and that happens a lot of the time in the study.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, men and ladies and everybody listening to this.
Children.
I don't know where it was for a second.
All people.
I forgot.
All creatures of our God and King.
Not aliens, though. Not the UFO.
Depends
UFO
on what you
people.
Mean by aliens. Illegal, legal.
Stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christians.
Hey, let me pray for us and we'll be done with this episode. God, help us to be, as I've so often prayed, a church of strong male leadership and headship. We want that. It's so important to the health of our church, but as we were talking about earlier, for all of us, God, we want to be those that have a genuine relationship with you, not just a sterile, going through the motions of a relationship. That's the danger of the sacrificial system for Israel. That's what is going to happen. God is going to condemn them eventually, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's going to say, I detest your sacrifices. I hate your feasts because they have put their faith and trust in a relationship with him in these things that they're doing. And so God, help us to guard against that, whether it be reading our Bible every day or praying a rote prayer that we pray over and over again. God, we want a genuine relationship with you. We want to spend time with you as we seek your face every single day. And so give us that humility, that drive, that desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Keep reading Bibles. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
We will see you then.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.